Morning. If you wish to follow along in your Bible, I'm going to begin. We will begin in Luke 2. Let me go ahead and open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that all of us who are here could be here. We just want to pray for those who can't make it today because of sickness or health problems or any other thing that's going on in their life. Lord, we pray that you would have your healing hand on them. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us through your word, that it wouldn't just be some sort of good thing to hear or a cool saying or something like that, but that it would be from your mouth to our hearts, Lord, and that you would change us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the Advent season, the Christmas season, and what we get during the Christmas season is Christmas sermons, right? And I love Christmas sermons. It tells us about the coming Messiah, the birth of Jesus. And today we are going to continue with a Christmas theme, if you will. It's already been spoken that the candle we lit today was the candle of peace. Go ahead and open here by reading Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 8. And this is a familiar passage to us if we've heard the Christmas story before. This is right after the birth of Jesus, right after Luke tells us that he's been born and he's in the manger. And we pick up there. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" So this passage in Luke speaks of one of these special moments that we have in the Bible that we're given where we get a glimpse of what things are really like. There's an incident here that's shared with us where the physical earthly realm seems to somehow mesh or line up with the heavenly realm, the supernatural realm. And the two exist simultaneously in the same space for a brief moment here. Heaven opens up right before the shepherds. It is in this moment that those of us on earth get to experience what is actually occurring in heaven. We can be blinded to it in this life. We can forget that there are things going on around us all the time that we might not be able to see or hear or touch or really experience, because we are in these bodies for a time. We are in this earth, this world for a time. And these bodies are temporal. They're temporary. And so we can't really grasp the actual things that are going on, except in these special moments here in the Bible where we can actually see what is. We get to experience a taste of these eternal things. were brought into the heavens with these shepherds, where the multitude of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels, are in worship and singing about what is. They proclaim the truths of God and even His creation. They say, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." They proclaim what is happening both in heaven and on earth. First, glory to God in the highest heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that's expected, isn't it? Angels in heaven, you expect that. Glory to God in the highest heaven. But then they speak of something happening on earth. The arrival of the Lord Jesus, the angels witness something else. They say, "And on earth, peace, goodwill to humankind." Peace. The heavens declare peace. It is God's goodwill to restore peace to humanity. As I said, today we gather to worship and to hear from the Lord in this Advent season, and we celebrate the coming of Christ the Lord. And we return to these traditional things that we speak about every Advent. These themes like hope and love and joy and light. And today we speak of peace. But why peace? Why are these eternal beings in the heavens proclaiming peace on earth? Well, first we have to realize that peace is the state we're really created to be in. When we think about the creation of Adam and Eve in the garden, they lived in perfect peace. They lived in peace with God. They lived in peace with one another. And they lived in peace with creation. And we have to, first of all, take away a misconception that we might automatically go to about living in peace. And that is that peace does not indicate the absence of work. Because we can tend to think that humanity before sin, before the fall, when they're at peace, you know, they weren't just sitting in Bermuda sipping virgin daiquiris on the beach, right? They were working. They were given a task to maintain the garden. So there was work to be done, but they were living in peace. They were not working, however, for something. They were working with someone. They were working with God without strife or conflict, in peace. And it's difficult for us to imagine this kind of existence, a life of peace while still working. We tend to think of retirement as the pinnacle of life. And work is just the means to an end to get there. We might think, how can work be peaceful and good, especially with some of the jobs that we have to do? But let me ask you this. Have you ever done a project or worked on something with somebody where you felt amazing doing it? Where you were working, but it didn't really feel like work. When the more you poured into this, the more satisfied you felt. And I think that this is the sense of the fulfillment that original humanity had when they worked and lived in peace with God in the garden. This peace is the intention God has for us, for humanity. peace with God, with others, and with creation. But something happened. The bad news, right? The bad news. Something broke this peace. This peace was stolen when Adam and Eve, through the temptation of the serpent, gave in to their desire to partake of that one thing they should not partake in, that God told them not to. They partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and humankind sinned. The relationship between man and God was severed. The relationship between man and man, or woman and man, or woman and woman was severed. They lost the relationship they enjoyed with the rest of creation. They were cursed to suffer the pains of childbirth and laborious work. And from that time, humanity could not get this peace back fully on their own. But let us leave Adam and Eve in the Old Testament behind for just a moment and fast forward to us today. What does this brokenness of peace mean for us? As we live in this world without the peace God intends for us, the first thing we have to know is that when the peace is absent, things do not function properly. So part of the reason that we feel what we feel in this world that is running on this brokenness of peace, these bodies that are part of this fallen humanity, there's dysfunction. Things do not function properly. And we can look at this from different angles in our life, from many different angles. A country does not function properly when at war. A company does not function well when things are in turmoil. More specifically for us as individuals, our bodies are destroyed when they're under sustained stress. When stress is unmitigated, proper function of the body is thrown into malfunction, and more specifically, overfunction. When there is no peace, hormones get out of whack. Cortisol, adrenaline, these things that are supposed to be saved for fight or flight or freeze, that we're just constantly in that state. Just day after day in this state of no peace. And it causes all sorts of problems in our bodies. We see the effects of long-term stress throughout our society. We deal with the effects of unmitigated stress. The Mayo Clinic says this constant stress leads for many to suffer with things like anxiety and depression, high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes. The symptoms include headaches, muscle tension, chest pain, fatigue, change in sex drive, upset stomach, sleep problems, weakened immune systems. The effects of stress and unrest, not having peace, tears everything apart. And we can feel it. We could see it in the world around us. Careers erode. Relationships are ruined. Marriages broken. Families shattered. Generational rhythms of dysfunction continue and continue. Our lives are tough. They are chaotic, stressful, arduous, and destructive. And they're absent of peace. But God knows this. And it is His goodwill to restore this peace. Scripture shows us God's heart for restoring peace, even in the Old Testament. Right? Even before the birth of Jesus, we see God beginning to work in restoring this peace with humanity. God was laying the foundation for restoration. After saving His people from Egypt, bringing them into the wilderness, eventually to bring them into the promised land, the capital being Jerusalem, the place of peace. While they were in the wilderness, the Lord gave the Hebrew people the Ten Commandments. I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with the Ten Commandments. These 10 rules for which the people are to live by. Half of them have to do with, about half, have to do with our relationship with God, right? We should not have any false idols. We should not take the Lord's name in vain, these sorts of things. The rest of them have to do with our relationship with one another. Don't murder, don't covet. But these were ways to maintain peace. Something else was needed as well. See, the peace needed to be restored, first of all, before it could be maintained. And so God established in the Old Testament this practice of offerings. So right after the Ten Commandments are given in the book of Exodus, it's written down that Moses receives this command from the Lord in Exodus 20. God tells the people, "Build for me an altar made of earth and offer your sacrifices to me, your burnt offerings and peace offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Build my altar wherever I cause my name to be remembered, and I will come to you and bless you." So we see that along with the law, the Ten Commandments, God gave this way of restoration of peace through this sacrificial system. Because really what they were dealing with was the brokenness of sin. And God requires that life of those animals to restore them to this place of peace, the right relationship with God. And so over and over and over and over, they would have to sacrifice these animals to the Lord. Over and over, they would have to reestablish this peace. Debbie, I know you love the sacrificial system. I won't be graphic. And so over and over, the people would fail. And over, they would have to restore this peace. Constantly. Year after year. It was not a permanent fix. The problem with the law and the sacrifices is that they rely on us. And here's a truth that we have to know. We will never be able to restore peace with God through our own earning. We cannot be reconciled to God through religion, no matter how hard we try. We cannot be reconciled to one another in our own strength, no matter how hard we try. And we cannot attain real peace on our own, no matter how hard we try. Then what is the answer? How can the angels in heaven be singing about peace on earth? Because the angels were singing about what was happening in that little manger, in that little city, in that little part of the world. They were singing about that little baby. Paul tells us what that little baby would become for us in Colossians. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. The answer for the chaos, the struggle, the unrest, the craziness, the anxiety, the hurt, the brokenness is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We can never bridge the gap from our existence back into God's presence. We can never be the ones to make peace with God. But Christ has become that. As the angels bridged the gap from heaven to earth to proclaim these things, Jesus has bridged the gap from God to us to give us peace. This Christmas season, we're reminded that God, as Paul wrote, has made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He's made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. Think about that. Perhaps the best news I can give this morning is that this peace is not just reserved for us when we die and go to heaven. It's available to us here and now on earth. Do you need peace? Jesus provides peace. Seek a relationship with him. The more we grow in a relationship with him, the more we will know his peace in every aspect of our life. Where do you need peace? Relationships, work, finances, health, all of the above. Invite Jesus into that area of your life. Make room for him there. Make him a priority. If you want peace, make him a priority. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with creation is not found with clever gimmicks or schemes, or systems, or things. Peace is found with a person, Jesus. It is this Jesus, this peace, that we celebrate and remember this year. I ask again, are you broken? Do you need peace in your life? It is available to you. Come to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to reconciliation, to restoration with God, with others, and with creation. This peace has come, and he dwells with us. This is what we celebrate this Christmas. This is one of the things that we remember, one of these themes of Advent, this peace. It's a realization, an experience. It's something that we can have now because Christ has come and is with us already. We celebrate the coming of the Lord, but that's happened already. This is a remembrance Christ is here with us now, and he's available to us now. So I just want to say that if you don't have Christ in your life or in every place of your life, I would invite you to invite him into those spaces. If you don't know him at all, he wants to know you. And all you have to do is accept him as Lord. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner and believe that Christ is the answer for restoration and peace back to God. And we often have to be reminded of this as those who have been following Christ for a while, because things get messy in our life and things stick to us. Sometimes we got to shed those things. Sometimes we have to remember who it is that really gives us peace. Those of us who accepted the Lord many years ago, do you remember that peace? Remember that moment when you gave your life to the Lord? You felt that rush of peace. We can experience that still. We can have that in our life. Even when things are crazy outside, we can still have that peace. I want to leave us this morning with a promise from God's Word. Philippians 4. As we go throughout our day, our week, especially during this crazy holiday season, right? There's lots of stuff going on. We just got through one of them, Thanksgiving. But the world around us is going crazy at the moment. Not even just Christmas, but everything else, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything is going on right now. And that this is one of the tactics of the enemy, right? To just flood us with stuff, to distract us from the Lord, to distract us from this peace that God intended for our lives. We can so easily lose that peace during this season. But God is calling us back to that peace. And he's reminding of that to us today. In Philippians, Paul writes to the church there, and he reminds them to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And as we do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we leave here today, let's remember this promise that we have. When we start to feel the anxiety of life, of work, of relationships, even our relationship with the Lord, let's make Jesus a priority. Let's get on our knees and pray. Let's spend time in his Word. He promises us this peace. Peace that we can find nowhere else. I'll ask the music team to come on up here. And as we continue to think about these things, this peace that we have with God through Christ, let's go ahead and end our time with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the peace that he has brought us. Lord, we know that there is no way for us to make it to you from where we're at. There's no possible way that we can be good enough to be in your presence, to be in a relationship with you, to be involved in anything that you're doing, Lord. But you have made a way. You have bridged that gap between you and us through your Son, Jesus Christ. and through the work that he has done on the cross. And Lord, we just want to accept that. It's a free gift for anyone who wants to accept it. Lord, we accept that. We accept this peace that you've given us, this reconciliation. And Lord, I just pray over this congregation. I pray that your peace would be felt in every aspect of our lives. Lord, that we would be turning to you, that we would be trusting you, that we would be giving our lives to you. And in return, I pray that you would just flood this place with your peace. Flood our lives with peace. Lord, let it overflow so much that people outside see it. They see your peace in us and they want some of it, Lord. And let us be the example and the light that reflects your light to the rest of the world. Lord, we thank you for coming. As we celebrate Christmas, thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for doing what needed to be done to bring us back to you. Lord, we love you, and we just want to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.